This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, June 13th, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. The KUAF Fulbright Chamber Music Festival continues tonight with a performance beginning at 7:30 in the Stella Boyle Smith Fine Arts Concert Hall on the University of Arkansas campus. This evening's concert will feature Trio Arkansas performing Brahms' C minor trio, plus works by Beethoven and Musgrave. Performers include the U of A Music Department faculty and guest artists. Admission is free, and more information is available at fulbrightsummermusic.uark.edu.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, One Town's museum is transformed from merely a warehouse to an inspirational space as unique as the town. Plus, solar-powered pizza and a tour de fun.
But first, with an immigration reform bill moving forward in the U.S. Senate, Senator Mark Pryor of Arkansas says procedural votes Tuesday were just the first step in what will be a closely watched process.
If you look at the immigrant population in Arkansas, it's about 5%. It's about 13% nationwide. However, we are one of the fastest growing states in terms of immigrant population. I think we're fourth overall in the amount of growth we're seeing in our immigrant population. So, you know, this is an issue that's becoming increasingly important to our state.
Pryor says the bill will be debated and amended, but says final legislation must secure the nation's borders, strengthen systems that ensure the legal status of workers, and should not provide a fast track to citizenship. Border security is a top concern for Senator John Bozeman.
We simply have to secure the border. If you don't, then we're going to be in the same situation that we were in under President Reagan. The promise was that we'll secure the border, we'll hold employers accountable. 3 million people were giving amnesty, and now we're anywhere from 11 million on up. So we're in the same situation.
Bozeman says there also needs to be a solid visa program that supplies workers to the industries that need them, and a possible review of how amnesty could impact the nation's social welfare programs.
Federal policies are to be implemented soon to take into consideration the children of people who are sentenced to prison time. Deanne Newell, with the group Arkansas Voices for the Children Left Behind, was honored yesterday at the White House as one of 12 people saluted as a champion of change.
It was a terrific honor, and to be there and to have the opportunity to learn about the new rollout of new federal policies that the Obama administration has been working on and this interagency group that you would think would be involved and concerned about children who are enduring the incarceration and separation from their parents.
Newell advocates for things like having established protocol when police arrest someone with children present to try and minimize the trauma. She also pushes for parents who are sentenced to federal prison to serve their time at a facility as close to the kids as possible.
Two Arkansans who fought in the Vietnam War will be honored Friday in the annual In Memory Day ceremony in Washington, D.C. Victor Walter Gordonsky of Russellville, who died on August 12th of last year, and William Thomas Massey of Marshall, who died on April 4th, 2007, will be among the 121 Vietnam veterans honored posthumously at Friday's ceremony. Lee Allen is the Director of Communications for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, the organization responsible for the annual Day of Remembrance. He says while those honored at the ceremony were veterans of the Vietnam War, their names are not included on the Vietnam War Memorial.
The Department of Defense sets the criteria for inclusion on the wall itself, and it tends to be kind of an exclusive list. Very few names have been added over time, but there are thousands of brave patriots who served bravely and honorably in Vietnam and have passed away since then who deserve some recognition.
Allen says the In Memory Day is held on Flag Day each year for a specific reason.
It's held on Flag Day so that they'll have their own special day. On the major patriotic holidays, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July, we focus on those who are listed on the wall. And we wanted to make sure that these honorees received their recognition in kind of a focused way.
He says during the ceremony, family members from around the country typically place photographs or memorabilia near the Vietnam Memorial Wall or even say a few words of remembrance for their fallen relatives.
The Arkansas Alcoholic Beverage Control Board held a lottery yesterday to determine who of the 55 applicants for retail liquor permits in Benton County would be heard first in hearings scheduled for June 16th through the 19th. The applicants who were drawn, 23, or roughly 42%, came from Rogers, 16 applicants, or 29%, from Bentonville, 4 applicants are from Lowell, 3 from Siloam Springs, 2 each from Bella Vista and Gentry, and 1 applicant was selected each from Centerton, Garfield, Pea Ridge, Decatur, and Prairie Creek.
You may have seen them while driving down the road. As of April, more than 25,000 hog tag license plates were displayed on cars and trucks in Arkansas, a 27% increase over the previous year. According to a release this morning by the University of Arkansas, the hog tag program has generated more than $3 million since beginning in 1994. The revenue has reportedly supported 1,300 scholarships in that time. $25 from each tag fee in the Hog Tag program goes to the Arkansas Alumni Association's Merit Scholars Program. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals fell yesterday afternoon in the series opener against the Springfield Cardinals. The final score was Cardinals 9, Naturals 5. The loss makes the Naturals 20-43 on the season, but the series continues tonight with a doubleheader at Arvis Ballpark.
Forecast calls for clear skies for that game tonight. Overnight lows from 67 in northwest Arkansas to 73 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny with highs from 88 to 95. I bet heat indexes are over 100. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with lows around 70 degrees.
One of the best tools to help minimize the effects of breast cancer is early detection and regular medical exams. A state program, Breast Care, is designed to offer mammograms and other tests to many Arkansas women who might not be able to afford the tests or have easy access to medical personnel. The Arkansas Department of Health recently issued an annual report with details about the success of the program. According to the ADH, more than 13,000 women were enrolled in the program during fiscal year 2012, and more than 8,000 free mammograms were provided. Ozarks at-largest Kyle Kellums recently talked to Dr. Namver Zahouri, director of the Center for Health Advancement at the Arkansas Department of Health, about the program.
The program is funded by federal and state fund to provide these services, breast and cervical screening services, to women who don't have access to screening otherwise. The eligibility for our program is for women who are between 40 and 64 years old, who have no health insurance and therefore can't get these screenings elsewhere. And they are at or below 200% of the federal poverty level, and women who live in Arkansas. So those are really the four eligibility criteria for our program.
When you think about it, 13,000 women, that's quite a difference made.
It is. It is. And we're very proud of that. And we've actually, over the years, have been able to improve our services and the efficiency of the services, so that even though, for example, in the past 4 years, even though we're getting, our funds have been going down slightly, the number of women that we've been able to see has actually gone up by almost 45%, and the cost per woman served has gone down about 32%. So we're very proud of this program, and we're happy to be able to provide this service for women who are not otherwise able to get it. The one thing, though, I'll say, even though we're serving over 13,000 women, there are still many more out there right now who could benefit from this service, but we just don't have the funds to do any more.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. More than 13,000, more than 8,400 mammograms in the fiscal year, but as is the case with any such program like this, there are always going to be the people you either haven't reached or haven't, because of various restrictions, been able to help.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we are seeing the maximum number of women that we can, given the funds and resources that we have. But there are many other women out there who either we can't reach them because there's a lot of education that's also involved with this program. We're also trying to get in addition to just providing screening services, we also do a lot of work out there along with the network of providers and partners that we have in educating and bringing greater attention to the general population about the importance of screening and early screening.
I guess the statistic that to me shows just how important this program is that more than 200 women were diagnosed with breast or cervical cancer that would perhaps not have known otherwise.
That's right. That's right. And a major part of the message also that we're getting out there is that it's very important to do this early. I mean, these 230 women that we were able to diagnose, the good news also is that because of their involvement, because of coming into the program, the women that get diagnosed through breast care get diagnosed a lot earlier than women who don't. And we, you know, as we all know, the earlier you catch cancer, the greater the chances of treatment and complete remission in some cases, you know, if they're caught early. So these 230 women have been diagnosed earlier than they would have been otherwise.
This is certainly primarily not a dollar and cents issue. I don't mean to minimize people's health, but if more people have access to early examinations for all sorts of things and things can and conditions can be caught earlier, that is still less expense to the general public and to the individuals later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the earlier we can catch and treat, you know, all sorts of chronic diseases, cancer, stroke, heart disease, any of these problems, the earlier they're caught, a lot simpler, easier, more effective it is to treat them and to keep them healthy and to keep them from getting sicker than they would have been otherwise, and therefore costing everybody, the state, the insurance companies, individuals, more expense than they would incur otherwise.
If someone listens to our conversation and wants to know, boy, I live in a very rural part of Arkansas, and I don't know if there's availability. How do you find out, even if you know you qualify, where you can go to have the examinations?
Well, I'm glad to say we have providers all over the state, and about a year or two ago, we tried to actually simplify the process. Right now, if anybody who's interested in finding out about, you know, where they can go, if they go to either arbreastcare.com, and there's a link there that says find a doctor, and they can see who the providers are within their area and are near to there to where they live. Or they can call the local health unit, the local health unit from the Department of Health. Local health units are in every state, every county in the state. So either by calling a local health unit or by going to arbreastcare.com, they can find all the information and the names of providers near to them.
And if there's some uncertainty about whether they're meeting the financial requirements of the federal poverty level, that help is there as well?
That is there as well. There's actually, again, there's an online ability for them to go there and check right away to find out whether they qualify, or if they go to their provider or to the local health unit, this can be done immediately right there on the computer. They can check and see if they qualify for the services and then make an appointment for them right away.
Is there anything else we should know?
I think this is a great program that we have here in Arkansas, and as I said, we're very proud of it. We do get funding from federal and state, and also from private donations, such as from Komen Foundation. And I'm happy to say, because we get federal funds, we are held responsible for certain indicators. There are certain clinical indicators that that are measured every year to see how well we do. And for the past 5 years in a row, we have met or exceeded all of the 11 clinical indicators that are used to measure how well we do. And this is a measure of how well we serve women in the state here in Arkansas, and we're very proud of that. And I would encourage all women who qualify for this program to make sure they take advantage of it.
Because if you're qualified, it's fairly easy to be able to take advantage of it.
It is. It is. And if you qualify, there's no cost to the patient to be screened and tested. And if they are found to be to have cancer of the breast or cervix, then they are referred to the appropriate treatment services.
ARBreastCare.com, once again, the website.
That's right.
Thank you so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums talked with Dr. Namver Zahuri, director of the Center for Health Advancement from the Arkansas Department of Health, about the breast care program offering medical examinations to thousands of Arkansas women.
The Eureka Springs Historical Museum, over the decades, has become a rich repository for local artifacts, photos, and documents. But the rundown three-story hand-cut limestone building had become more of a warehouse, stocked with antique cases and cabinets crammed with collections. But thanks to several inspired new museum board members, the institution has been transformed. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has more.
Ironic that one of the most historied small towns in Arkansas has, for years, operated a museum which looked more like a flea market. Well-intentioned staff with few financial resources have made it work, accommodating thousands of tourists and residents seeking to learn local history. But several years ago, when retired gallery owners Rick and Sarah Armellini joined the board, they brought with them a vision: restore the museum and bring it forward into the 21st century.
Sarah Armellini. I'm president of the board of directors of the Eureka Springs Historical Museum.
This morning, Sarah Armellini kindly provides us a tour, starting with the entrance bookstore and gift shop. For $5, you can enter the museum through a beckoning archway.
What we have now is that this is one big room, and we have blocked it off where it's now a trail through that one big room. And when you come in the front door, instead of seeing everything, there's a mystery. There's an arch you have to go through, and then the tour begins, and it is self-guided.
Sarah and husband Rick, a skilled photographer, volunteered hundreds of hours designing the narrative placards, illustrated with archived postcards and photographic images they found in the museum's collection. All the clutter is gone, replaced with exemplary artifacts. The storyboards draw you through the history of Eureka, roughly divided into four major periods: pre-settlement indigenous presence, a gilded 19th century Victorian spa era when thousands came by wagon and train to take the healing cold water springs. The third era saw the town literally collapse under the Great Depression, but the New Deal attracted artists and folklorists who staged an annual folk festival reviving the town, which is now completely restored, filled with accommodations and shops, and inhabited by a diverse cosmopolitan culture. The refurbished museum colorfully divulges the entire tale now. Terry Miller, a museum board member, and son-in-law Ricky Wagoner oversaw the renovation, donating a good chunk of their time. The freshly painted wooden stairway to the second floor reminds visitors of the age of this cut limestone building, established as the Califf House.
The building was built in 1898. It was built by Samuel Califf. It was built to be a residence for his family, a retail shop, it was like a general store, and then some of the upper floors they used to rent out for extra income. It was purchased by the Elks Club in the 50s, and at that time, they sort of changed it. They tore the front of the building off, cemented the windows, put a cinder block entryway to it, tore off the porches, took out the center stairway, and that was their lodge room. They needed that big open space. So in 1971, when the folk festival people bought the building, they had to replace all that. They brought it back, and we have photos downstairs that'll show you the before and the what happened and then the after. So a lot of money and time was put into this building, and the building was given to us by the folk festival group. They had made money over the years and wanted to give back to the community, and they found this building and started the museum. They had lots of people help them come in, fix it up, bring artifacts, and then they turned it over to the Museum Association.
The second floor was remodeled several years ago with grant funding, the roof and plaster walls repaired. The entrance hallway contains several themed glassed-in display cases.
But when we renovated the second floor is when we kind of moved collections around. Where we're standing now, this is schools, the different schools that have been here in Eureka, the college, Crescent College for Girls, which is Crescent Hotel. So for a while it served as a home to the college. Then we have some sort of miscellaneous artifacts that people have given us, like doctor's supplies. This was used by Dr. John in his office. It's a machine that was developed by Tesla, which a lot of people are familiar with his work in electricity. And I don't know exactly what it does. They say remove skin blemishes, but I can't quite figure out how. It's got levers and dials and coils and all kinds of things, and I don't think I'd let it near me.
On the north side of the second floor stands a new gallery space dedicated to Eureka's historic artists. In the 1930s, Louis Friend, a WPA artist, came to Eureka with his wife Elsie to open an art summer school. Today, nearly 300 artists make their living in Eureka Springs. Friend's work, of course, is featured in the gallery, as are the highly collected 1950s landscape paintings by Glenn and Fred Swedlin. Another exhibit holds dozens of photo portraits of Eureka artists, taken by Betty Maffei, some living, some gone, including Glenn Gant, Tommy Thomas, Ken Addington, Doug Stowe, and Mary Jane Beggs.
Currently over at Crystal Bridges, they have an year-long exhibit up showing artifacts from five different area museums, and we were fortunate enough to be chosen as one of them. So we have some artifacts from the Folk Festival. We have a painting by Elsie Friend, one by Ken Addington. We've got ceramics by Charlie Stem, and we've got some strange things like a banjo made out of a dishpan that was one of the folk instruments that was used at the festival when it began, and some Ozarka artifacts, Ozarka water, which started here.
You end the tour across from the gallery in the Pioneer Room.
A few pieces are more current, like we have a dresser from the Crescent Hotel, which was probably from the turn of the century, but some of these pieces date back further to when people were homesteading up here in the early or middle 1800s. We've got a weaving loom that was brought over from Sweden 150 years ago, and it was used to teach at the Art School of the Ozarks at Hatchett Hall when the Louis and Elsie Friend had their art school there. We've got a strange little thing that's a mechanized churn that one of the people who had a dairy here used to churn their butter.
Glass cupboards are filled with toys and dolls. Beautiful quilts adorn the walls and bed. For now, the third floor is closed off to the public.
The third floor has one, two, three, four, about five rooms up there that's full of things. One room has a great deal of textiles, a lot of garments that we really don't have the ability to display properly that we hope to do something with in the future. And then another one is all paper, newspapers and different paper memorabilia from the past. We have files and files and files of photographs, but then there's other things like people will bring in their grandfather's tools or grandma's sewing machine or mother's hat or something like that. It's just full of stuff like that that has been assessed, but it needs to be gone through again and sort of weeded out and, you know, maybe bring it back to light. A lot of things that are downstairs right now were upstairs, and we brought them out to show people because they'd kind of been forgotten or hidden. We're all volunteers, and it is hard to take care of the collection. I mean, we value everything we have. It's just that we can't always display it all at once.
A crew of college students recently helped to organize the relic repository upstairs. A museum reopening was held June 9th. It attracted more than 300 visitors. The cost of renovation, which has not been disclosed, has been funded in part by the annual Voices from Eureka Silent City, a living history tour staged in the village cemetery.
We have no funding from the city, state, county, federal government, so we depend on memberships, donations, grants, and anything else that we can rustle up.
So memberships, just $25 a year, are encouraged. Museum Director Stephen Sinclair is usually on hand to answer any questions. Otherwise, visitors are free to explore Eureka's remarkable history at their leisure. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Eureka Springs Historical Museum is open Monday through Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Admission is $5 for adults, free for children 18 and under. For more, visit EurekaSpringsHistoricalMuseum.org.
On the next Radio Lab, a harrowing encounter with a humpback whale.
I was 18 inches away from her eye, and she just looked at me and let me touch her.
It really was a very emotional feeling.
I felt this whale,
this 50-ton mammal, was literally
thanking us,
saying thanks.
What can we really know about what happens in an animal's mind? That's the next Radio Lab.
Radio Lab, Saturday at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM.
It is Thursday, June 13th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas, and with me now is Becca Martin Brown. She is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I understand you got to see a rehearsal of Big.
I did.
What did you think?
I love the Young Actors Guild and the kids involved. I love them. They are so good.
And Missy Gibson is a bundle of energy. Mm-hmm. I talked to her about the show, which opens tonight at the Young Actors Guild performing venue, which is the Alma Performing Arts Center. This group is the oldest youth theater company in Arkansas, an award-winning youth theater company. And I don't know that anybody on our side of the mountain knows about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth mentioning that when you say youth theater, I mean, they put on a professional caliber show.
They did Les Mis last year.
I mean, it's good stuff.
This year they have a guest musical director who's named Paul Helm. He's from Milwaukee, done work with the Milwaukee Rep. And he says that they are singing the music that was on Broadway. That's a pretty good endorsement. It should be a great treat. He says, these are really top-notch kids. I've got 10 to 19-year-olds singing a Broadway-caliber show, and I'm not dumbing it down. Show opens tonight at 7, continues at 7 tomorrow night, 2 and 7 on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday at the Alma Performing Arts Center, which is worth a trip in and of itself. It's gorgeous. And tickets start at $10 at 632-2129.
All right. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Since 1992, Eureka Pizza has been making pizza out of a building located on Leverett Avenue in Fayetteville. Now, recent additions to the outside of that building will help create the energy necessary to cook the company's pizzas inside the building. This week, Sun City Solar Commercial Energy of Springdale installed 40 solar panels on the roof of the Leverett store. Eureka Pizza owner Rolf Wilkin says he believes his restaurant is the first pizzeria in the state to use solar power. The idea to install the panels occurred to him after reading a newspaper article.
Well, I was reading the Wall Street Journal, I guess 2 months ago, and they said that the cost was downward, that it was affordable and it was reasonable, where you could get a decent payback. So I said, oh, I wonder if that could be true. So I just kind of searched around, and I found John Girard from Sun City Solar, and I called him up and came out. And, you know, I was kind of stunned that the numbers did work, that you get a federal tax credit, and then SWEPCO throws in money. And suddenly you can be green and get up to half your energy from solar panels, and it's like a 50-month payback. I mean, it's really quick. So I said, well, let's do it. And I was just stunned more people haven't done it. But I think we're probably the kind of tip – the cusp of the revolution, that now it is affordable and more people are going to do this.
John Girard, owner and general manager for Sun City Solar, explains that the reason solar power systems have become more affordable is because the price of the commodities that make up a solar cell has dropped dramatically in the last 3 to 4 years. He says the price of silica has dropped about 90% during that time. Girard says in a solar electric installation like the one they are doing for Eureka Pizza, installation does involve some drilling into the roof.
The first thing you do is we do drill holes in your roof. So you've got to use a caulk that's going to last and not you know, cause any leaks for super long term. And then you put a rail up, which is made out of aircraft aluminum, and then you attach your panels to that. So the panels don't, the electrical panels don't lie flat on the roof. They need some breathing room, 4 to 5 inches underneath them, so that the air can get under them and they don't overheat and and you know, cause any issues. So that's what you're seeing now is you've got feet, and then you've got panels, and then you've got the little microinverters or power boxes that go under that. And then the panels go on top of that, and then they all tie back into the inverter that they're putting outside.
Once the system is installed, Gerard says the panels can work for decades and require little, if any, maintenance during a 20-plus year time period.
You basically, it's a plug and play and forget on the solar system. You may want to rinse your panels off, get the dust and the pollen off in the spring, and maybe some of the dirt in the wintertime. But from a standpoint of their reliability and longevity, the component parts have warranties anywhere from 30 years to 10 years, and these are the major components, 25 years. So, and very little maintenance is required. Every once in a while we do get a service call on an older system, but it's not very often. Compare that to a car where, you know, you're not only do you have to put gas in it every week and practically every day depending on how far you drive, but do you ever have to change a battery out? Yeah. Do you ever have to put new tires on it? Do you pay insurance on it? You know, all that costs you money ongoing for the lifetime of that car, and very few cars are going to last 25 years like a solar system will. So my recommendation is take that 20 grand and spend it on a solar system, and then go buy you a cheaper car, because it'll do you better in the long run from a standpoint of return on investment.
Depending on the amount of sunlight the panels receive, Eureka Pizza owner Rolf Wilkin says the Leverett store could have as much as 50% of its power being created through solar energy. To keep patrons involved and informed about the solar panels, there will be a monitor in the store so customers can see how much energy is being created, among other things. This real-time information will also be available at the company's website.
When they showed me that, it was just so cool, the interactive thing, and he showed me like a kind of online index where you could see other installations around the world, and that was kind of cool. And they said, we have an option to make this public, and of course I thought, why wouldn't you make it public? But I guess, you know, I don't, you know, tell everybody my pizza recipes, that sort of thing, so I guess I can understand some trade secrets. But I thought for something like this, you know, people are curious. You know, when you drive by a St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Springdale, you're like, hey, I wonder if they are making anything from the wind. And so that's when I said, well, of course, we're going to make it public. We'll have it in the lobby and then just people at home. And the response I've gotten, you know, when I've told my customers about it and they've emailed me and called me, I think they're really looking forward to that, because, you know, everybody's always heard and they know it's, you know, there's more of it. But, you know, nobody ever knows, is it worth it? And, you know, are you making money? Are you saving money? And so hopefully, I think within a week, people can see, wow, you know, they made so many kilowatts, or I'm not sure how they measure it, but it'll be fun to see. And then the cost savings, I think I'm going to be a little preacher in a sense of showing people, you know, for really a modest investment, you can get half your power from the sun. And just think how much energy the sun is sending our way, and we capture so little of it. So I think this is the beginning of a green revolution.
More information is available at eurekapizza.com or suncityenergy.com. This is Ozarks at Large.
I marry a nice young handsome fella. He don't care much for mozzarella. He likes a little pizza every night. He don't care for Parmigiano.
A teenaged boy pushes a mower over the lawn of a house on New Hope Road in Rogers. But it isn't his home, and he's not mowing because his parents sent him out to do so. This building houses the Teen Action and Support Center, and he's working to earn some community service hours. Helping teens earn those hours is just one of the programs the Teen Action Center provides. The center was founded in 2005 because of the huge need for teenagers in Northwest Arkansas. A group noticed that there weren't many programs targeted toward them. Heather Paul, a teenager at the time, was on the youth board of that founding group. She's now director of the center, but as a teen utilized its services. She says she was going through some things and needed the extra support. She was able to get that support through the center's founder, Dawn Sprague. Here's Heather Paul.
And she was just a huge support and encouragement, someone really uplifting during that time that I could lean on that was outside of my family, because sometimes you just need to talk to someone outside of your family. And just the trajectory that she was helping me to get on is what I want to give back to kids, just to encourage them, let them know if they're going through a hard time that it's going to be all right. And we're all backing you. We're all here supporting you. We want you to succeed.
Affordable and accessible counseling is just one of the teen needs the center addresses, offering a free counseling program from their quieter location on Poplar Street. Heather says families are welcome too. The center also has Mary's Closet for teens in need of basic items like clothing, toiletries, school supplies. The basics to make their teenage lives feel a little more normal. For whatever reason, their lives are a bit tumultuous. One of those hurdles could be teen parenting. The center also has a resource program for them, offering items such as diapers, wipes, formula, in order to remove some of the financial constraints they could be facing.
We want them to finish school and finish it strong. And a lot of times, their focus can't be put on school because they have to get a job in order to pay for these resources. And while we think it's great for them to have jobs, we really want them to finish school in order to provide the best success in the future.
They also offer education and counseling through this program. The Teen Action Center serves most of its 500 teens through the in-service program. They found that teens need opportunities to perform community service, so they remove the barriers such as inconvenient hours due to school or adult supervision.
And we have in-service coordinators that plan projects throughout Northwest Arkansas. We work with individuals and other nonprofits that are needing volunteer efforts. And so then we get the kids rounded up from schools who are needing community service hours to complete club certifications, to round out their resumes for college. If they've gotten a speeding ticket or they've gotten in trouble with the court system and they have to complete service hours, then they can come through us too.
Heather says they do a wide variety of volunteer work, from doing yard work here or for an elderly disabled woman, babysitting at another organization, working with horses at a charity youth ranch, packing snack packs, or disaster relief.
So the bulk of our kids are here just to give back to Northwest Arkansas. And it's so cool. I think teens get kind of a bad rap sometimes. They don't get full credit for the passion that they have for their community. But teens are coming here ready to give back, ready to dig in, and they love to see those who are affected by their positive actions.
Heather herself could be called a success story. But one teen she has seen grow through the center's programs comes to mind for her.
One of them was really cool. She just wrote a story up for Peekaboo magazine, and she's been with us for a few years. She started out doing counseling and had a really rough family history and had a lot of things to work through. So she did that for a couple of years. She ended up getting pregnant as a teenager, so she used our First Steps resources as well. And so now I really just love thinking about it because she's independent, she's living on her own, she's raising her son, she has a great job, she's paying for her own place, and I've been working with her recently to get out of debt. She's got some hospital debt and she's paying off her car, and she's just really making great strides. I mean, she knows that she has to be independent. She knows that these are things that have to be done when you become an adult, and even though her path has been a little bit different, she's just excelling and has been such an encouragement that things are going well.
The center funds these success stories through donations. Their largest fundraiser is the Tour de Fun. This running and biking event will take place this Saturday with races of varying length. For the first time in the event's 7-year history, they will have a little tyke ride just down to downtown Rogers Street for ages 3 to 7. There's a 5K walk, run, stroll, along with 10K, 50K, and 100K bike rides.
The 50K and the 100K start in downtown Rogers, and then they head east. So they go through Hobbs State Park. The 50K is a turnaround, and then 100K makes a loop. So it goes through Hobbs, through Hinesville, and then back up through Springdale. And that one is not for the faint of heart, but it's really fun. And the 50 and 100 are both beautiful scenic routes. And this year we're going to have extra safety personnel. We've got the sheriff on board, the police department's on board, the Hobbs State Security on board. So it's just going to be a really safe and fun event.
At the events taking place in downtown Rogers, A DJ will be playing music. There will be a kiddie area along with some ice cream. And for distance riders taking off at 6:45 a.m., fruit and breakfast items. Events will end around noon. Heather Paul is the director of the Teen Action and Support Center. For information on this Saturday's Tour de Fun, visit teenaction.org. This is Ozarks at Large.
If you have Alzheimer's disease or think you may have Alzheimer's disease, Health Initiatives Research is seeking participants to evaluate the effectiveness and safety of an oral study drug that may slow the progression of mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. More information is available at 871-1771. Theater Squared's 5th Annual Arkansas New Play Festival is this weekend through Sunday evening at Walton Art Center's Nadine Baum Studios. Actors and playwrights from across the country will perform 4 staged readings of new plays and invite audience suggestions to help shape the stories before their first production. Information and tickets are available at 443-5600 or theater2.org.
Though school is out, there are a couple of opportunities for kids to get their school lunches. Many kids rely on school cafeterias for nutritional meals, and sometimes it's their only meal. Owl Creek School in Fayetteville will serve free lunches to children ages 18 and under through August 12th. That's Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Owl Creek is located at 375 North Ruppel Road in Fayetteville. You may call 479-718-0221 for more information on that lunch.
And kids in Bentonville also have a couple of chances to get a free healthy meal. Children 18 and under can have breakfast beginning at 7:30 and lunch beginning at 10:30, Monday through Friday, at Mary Mae Jones Elementary in Bentonville. 479-254-5949 for more information. Both programs are part of the USDA's Seamless Summer Program.
A couple of things happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. The Washington County Historical Society will be celebrating Arkansas's 177th birthday with their 43rd annual ice cream social. And I know, Antoinette, we were talking about it, that traditionally this has been in August.
It has been, but they moved it earlier. I don't know if this is the first time or last year they moved it back.
I think maybe
a little
bit.
Maybe last year.
It's just too hot in August. So although it's getting hot now too. Uh-huh. So the ice cream social at the Washington County Historical Society, it's this Saturday from 4 to 7 at the headquarters house on Dixon Street. They'll have homemade cakes and ice cream along with ice cream from Highland Dairy. And Tyrannosaurus Chicken will be providing music from 5:30 to 7.
I'm hoping to make it out. I've yet to make it to one.
Me too.
Something else happening this weekend, you can show your spirit and support Special Olympics of Arkansas by participating in the Spirit Challenge 5K on Saturday. You can run or walk. All proceeds will benefit Special Olympics of Arkansas and the student athletes here in Northwest Arkansas. You can pre-register online at register-wizard.com, or you can stop by Fleet Feet Sports. The day of race registration will begin at 7 a.m. on Saturday behind McNair Middle School. Arkansas is the only state where Special Olympics student athletes do not have to pay anything out of pocket, so any participation and contribution is quite valuable and greatly appreciated. So for more information, you can call 479-530-8084.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It is Thursday, June 13th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas, and joining me now is Jody Beznoska. She is Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I always have to say that kind of slow to make
sure
I get it out.
I know, it's funny to watch your face. There's so many syllables, you know, but you do it very well.
Thank you.
So, yeah, here we are.
Here we are. Tonight's the Art of Wine dinner.
Correct. Tonight's the big dinner, the Art of Wine, the winemaker's dinner, where we do a 5-course wine and food pairing created by Chef Bill Lyle from Ella's Restaurant. And it's paired with wines, and I think the the winery this year is William Hill. So there's William Hill wines being paired with the food. And then this year we also have the chocolatier from Ghirardelli, who is working to create special desserts for us at the event. So this is this evening. I believe it's at 6 o'clock. It's a plated dinner, and there's mingling, and I think there's a silent auction, and it's going to be a great night, and it kicks off our weekend of wine at Walton Arts Center, which is quite the endeavor. Tomorrow night, we do our biggest tasting of the event, which is the Uncorked Friday Night Tasting.
And this one's a little more relaxed.
Yeah, a little bit. This is where people come to have a good time at a party. You know, you can be a wine person. You don't have to be a wine person. You can just grab your girlfriends and come along and have a good night. You know, it's bigger. We have, I think, 400 wines that you could potentially sample. And there's food from lots of local restaurants, Bordino's, Ella's, Brickhouse Kitchen, Flying Burrito, everything. You know, everybody, Jam and Java has a table. You know, there's food from lots of local places. And it's just basically lay out wine in every space you can possibly think of in Walton Arts Center. Go around the corner, there's going to be wine there somewhere.
And you get your Art of Wine, wine glass.
Yep, your ticket includes a wine glass and a plate and a program, obviously, so you can see what the wines are and where they're from. And, you know, you can mark off the wines that you like. And there's a raffle, a really fun raffle as part of that event. So that's tomorrow night, Friday. That's the Uncorked Tasting. There are still tickets left for that. And then Saturday night is the final event of the festival. That is our premier tasting. And that is a slightly smaller event, still pretty impressive in terms of the number of wines. I think it drops by 100 or so, but there's still a lot of wine there. And these are more of the reserve wines. So your ticket's a little more expensive for this one. This one, I would say, is, you know, wine people like this mm-hmm. one because they can identify and try new bottles and they can, you know, decide, okay, I like that bottle. I want to take that. You know, I want to make sure I go find it and buy it later on for parties and things. If you're not a wine person, it doesn't really matter because you can march up to the vintner who's pouring and ask him to tell you about the wine and he will. So that's just this weekend. And then on Sunday, we will begin the second half of the Artosphere Festival at the Arts Center and all around the region. On the 16th, which is Sunday, we'll have our first chamber music series show with the Dover Quartet at the St. Paul's Episcopal Church here in Fayetteville. It's a 7 o'clock performance. They're going to play Schubert and Shostakovich. These are young musicians who are at the top of their game. The players of the Dover Quartet, Brian, Joel, Milena, and Camden, are all principals of the festival orchestra, which will be doing two big concerts for us. So they'll be performing on Sunday at 7 o'clock at St. Paul's, and then they will also be performing on Monday at 7 o'clock at Thorn Crown Chapel in Eureka Springs.
What is the cost on this?
These are $10 tickets, okay. So it's really affordable. They tend to be, the St. Paul's show will have lots of tickets. The Thorn Crown one, I would try to get those in advance. Don't wait to come up to the gate to get those, because those go pretty quickly.
About, what, 100 people or so?
Yeah, it's a really small little house. I think it's 85 to 100, yeah. And then let's see, on Wednesday, a different quintet group of string players will be at the Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista, 7 o'clock. I will be there that night, so I'm looking forward to that. Thursday the 20th, we have two events happening. We have the Artosphere Documentary Film Night at 7:30 in Star Theater. This is going to show three films from our Artosphere artists. And then also that night, we will be doing the Festival Orchestra Pub Crawl, where different pockets of musicians will be migrating throughout the Dixon Street area, going to different clubs and restaurants and playing music for you in a rather unusual place.
So go check out the documentaries and mm-hmm. then go have a beverage.
Yeah, actually flip it. Go okay. have a beverage
and then
go check out the documentaries, because the pub crawl starts at 6 and the film night starts at 7:30.
Okay.
So that would work.
Got it.
That would work very nice, actually.
Got it.
And let's see, and then we will have our first major concert with the Festival Orchestra. That will be on the 21st, which is Friday. That's a 7 o'clock show. This is an evening of Beethoven, and our soloist will be Camden, who we heard just talked about before with the Dover String Quartet. But then we will also have Andrew Tyson, who is a hot, young, emerging piano talent, who it's very exciting that he's coming to play. So he's going to be doing the concerto for violoncello and piano. So that's going to be a great concert. That's on our 10 by 10 art series, so the tickets are only $10 for that.
Awesome.
And they're going quickly, so I would recommend you get them soon.
Okay.
That's Friday. And then mark your calendars for Saturday the 22nd, starting at 6:30 p.m. There's going to be a very special evening out at Crystal Bridges. It's called Journey to the Solstice. And we'll be celebrating the summer solstice with a whole host of musical things happening out by the Terrell Skyspace sculpture. There'll be giant ensembles playing different kinds of music.
May I throw something in there that's going on that morning?
The yoga, right?
The yoga, the yes. Natural Movement Series.
This has been really fun. We've been doing this partnership with Clubhouse Fitness, and they've been doing yoga and exercise things during Artist Fair, and it's great. But yeah, I can't quite imagine a more beautiful space.
Well, you can start your summer solstice at Crystal Bridges and then end it at Crystal Bridges.
Absolutely.
So begin it with yoga and end it with music.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure the sunboxes will be out during the day at Crystal Bridges on the 22nd as well. So I think they'll be migrating with the sun along the trails, which will be pretty, will be a cool experience. So, wow. I just kind of realized how busy next week is going to be.
It's a lot of music and things for sure.
Yeah, it's great.
And this weekend with wine. So.
And yeah, so yeah, welcome to the last couple weeks of June. We're not stopping.
So for more information on the Art of Wine.
Art of Wine, you can go to waltonartscenter.org. Mm-hmm. You can also go there to get information about Artisphere, but I would instead recommend going to artisphere festival.org, and all the information is there about the shows. And get a couple of them on your calendar. It's going to be quite the week and a lot of fun.
Okay. Thanks, Jody.
Thank you.
Jody Beznoska is Vice President of Communications with Walton Art Center.
Bossa Nova survives on the steadiness of the pulse, and then you get all these syncopations off of it.
Guitarist Jordan Dodson, our young artist in residence on PT. Over the course of this week, he has music by Bach for us and some bossa nova. I'm Fred Child. Join me and Jordan Dodson on Thursday's Performance Today from APM.
Performance Today, tonight at 8 here on KUAF 91.3 FM. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
KUAF will broadcast Mozart in the Museum live from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, June 24th at 8 p.m. Hosted by Kyle Kellums and Katie Henriksen, this live broadcast will feature the Artisphere Festival Orchestra, interviews, and more. Artisphere Festival.org for more information. Support for this broadcast comes from Cox Communications and the Bentonville Art and Culinary Festival.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Eureka Springs.
Whose museum we just took a tour of earlier on the show.
And they are having a blues festival this weekend.
They are. And yesterday, on yesterday's show, we announced that we would give that we had three pair of tickets to give away.
Mm-hmm.
And we had people email ozarksatlarge@gmail.com and have some winners.
We do have some winners. And who are they, Christina?
They are Nicole Gulas, Chris Hodge, and Mark Pitts.
Congratulations to Nicole, Chris, and Mark. We will email you back in just a little bit with some more information. Tickets should be at will call for you, and they are weekend passes. And you should be all good to go. So thanks for listening and for participating, and I hope you enjoy the concerts this weekend.
I know. It should be fun. It's an entire weekend of music.
It is, which is always a good time. I don't know that I'm going to make it this year, but...
I don't think I am either. I haven't been in a really long time. It's probably since I was a teenager.
Really?
Actually. Yeah. But
there's always... I mean, I feel like it's a blessing and a curse that there's always so much happening in the area, you know, even within a reasonable drive.
Right.
And so you have to make decisions about what you're going to do. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but my weekends fill up fast and ahead of time.
They
so.
Do.
You know, if I forget, oh, right, that the Eureka Springs Blues Festival is this weekend, by the time I remember, I've probably already filled that time with something else.
Right.
So.
I know. I have a get-together this weekend with my Energy Corps group. Uh-huh. I was an Energy Corps member at one point. And so I have a thing with them on Saturday afternoon. And then I'm hoping to go to the ice cream social.
I'm hoping to make that as well.
That we talked about earlier. So
hopefully I'll see you there.
Yeah. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.